Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to the Feeble Minded Podcast. It's been like 5 months, something like that, since I last uploaded the video on my main channel. Today we're going to talk about my skate across America, reflect on that. Pulled a bunch of questions off of Instagram, so I'm going to do like more of a Q&A style for this. And yeah, I'm excited to grow this thing. I got a bunch of guests lined up, so should be cool. But before we get into the Q&A, skate across America stuff, just going to talk a little bit about the board that I skated across the country on. So I recently let go of that board and gave it to Tony Hawk, which has just been a crazy experience because, yeah, when I first, thought of the skate across America, I envisioned it as like this solo thing, just me by myself out there. Like, so to see, people interviewing me and like going out and doing Tony Hawk's podcast and stuff like that, it's just been an crazy experience that I did not expect. So it's been really cool. So part of that is when I was on the podcast, kept asking about the board because he collects like old skateboards and antiques, stuff like that. So, he kept asking about the board and I thought he was kind of kidding, until after the podcast was over, he sent me a message like, no, I'm serious. I'll, take the board from you. And the more I started thinking about it was, he kind of checks all the boxes, right? Because when I finished the Skate Across America, I was going to chuck that thing in the Atlantic Ocean and just be done with it. But it was like symbolic, kind of just get rid of it. But there were so many people there, I just thought someone would like go in and get it, kind of like sell it, something like that. So ended up hanging on to it. And kind of cool that I did because I can't think of any better hands for it to go in than Tony Hawk. Like, people were asking me right at the end to buy it, and that's not really what mattered to me. It was more about preserving it. Like, I wanted it to go to a place where someone would take care of it or people would see it or hear about it. So he kind of checks all those boxes. So when he reached out, I was just like, yeah, of course. So recently flew out there to give him the board. So I'm like getting ready to fly to go, meet up with him, skate his ramp in California. And I'm like thinking, wait, how am I going to, I'm not checking this board. So I have to bring it on the plane. So I'm bringing my regular skateboard. So I took apart my board, put my trucks in my backpack and put my regular deck on top of the Skate Across America board, just so I can, you can't have more than one like skateboard carry on. So I taped my other deck to the top of it, put like a layer in between so it wouldn't scratch the grip tape because I wasn't letting that thing out of my sight. So, fly out to California, go to his place down south. I think it's like near San Diego. Forgot what the exact town it was. But, yeah, really cool, man. Just pulled up to the parking lot, walked into his building. I'm waiting for him. He's like filming a commercial. So I'm just watching him like skate vert and through these like big windows. And I'm like looking around at his place and he's got all these accolades and boards on the wall. And it's just like, he's Tony Hawk, right? But you don't really like think about all the, at least I didn't, like all the achievements over the years, just 40 something years. I'm not really sure exactly, but like all these years of, it's like on tech decks and awards and boards and just so much memorabilia. This really hits you when you're in there, like how much he's really done. And then on top of that, just think of, the progression in the sport with the, all the contests he's done, all the tricks he's invented. So just like really hit me in that moment, like how much this guy's really done for skateboarding. So, he comes out, start just talking about the board and stuff like that. And then we end up skating his vert ramp. So I haven't skated vert in like 3 years. So I'm sitting there like trying to pump on this thing and just get used to it. Not feeling comfortable at all. I'm like working my way up to a tail stall and I get there and I press a little too late and I miss and just like go into a disaster, like fall, knee slide all sloppy. I'm just looking like sketchy. He's probably like, oh God, this guy's going to get hurt on my ramp. Finally I climb up to the top of the vert ramp. I'm looking like all crazy trying to climb up this ladder, like all uncomfortable, just really not used to skating vert at all. Drop in, you know, feeling things out, do a rock fakie, and then I just jump right into a backsmith because that's basically the only trick I can do, probably a feeble fakie, but start trying to backsmith this thing. And I'm bailing like crazy. I'm like, when you knee slide, you're supposed to jump off the coping, put your feet down, then kind of slide. And I'm just skipping this step. I'm just not putting my feet down and dropping like, what, 8 feet or whatever it is to the transition, landing straight on my knees. So one fall, I jumped off and like, I do like a roll. The board hits me. It just looks sketchy. He's like, is there anything easier you could try? I'm just like, oh God. Yeah, falling all over the place. But slowly, like I'm getting used to it. End up just eking out the backsmith, just barely, which the ramp's like 13, 14 feet high. So pretty sure that's the biggest backsmith I've ever done. So I was pretty psyched, but you know, I knew I could do better. And then immediately after, he asked me if I can, you know, if he has, if I ever had anyone air over me before. And at that point, I've only had someone do it on like a 6 foot ramp, like really small. Like I'm probably not even grinding the coping. So basically no, but you know, he asked me, so I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, when else are you going to get that shot? So even though I didn't really feel comfortable at all, just like, I got to do this. So start trying the backsmith, and it's so weird because I'm like, I don't want to be the guy to take out Tony Hawk because I don't know my timing. So he's like, all right, when I hit my peak is exactly when you got to drop in. So I'm looking out of the corner of my eye, like trying to time this, but I'm not even that comfortable on the ramp. So it just feels weird. I'm like grinding the backsmith, like seeing him fly over me. Just like I said, not comfortable at all. But a few tries later, I'm like, all right, he's so comfortable flying over me. He's landing at every try. I'm like, okay, start focusing on the smith. Couple of tries later, I do like, I don't know, just a perfect backsmith. Like if you just took out that clip, you would think I'd be able to skate vert a little bit, but like all the other stuff, I just look like terrible. But was able to pull out the backsmith and he aired over me. Unreal experience. And that was like what I had in my head before I went there. Like that was my goal. But then when I got there, I was like, not sure if I'm going to be able to do it. And then luckily he brought it up and it kind of all just worked out. So unreal experience. So after that, go up, start talking about the board. And, you know, he takes a video of me just asking questions about the board. And yeah, it's funny. I gave it to him and like I was about to leave and I picked up the board just like second nature because I'm so used to like not letting that thing out of my sight. Plus, the skate across America every day, I'm like picking it up. So it was just like so burned in my memory just to pick it up and leave with it. But yeah, just, you know, a lot of people like are shocked that I'm even getting rid of this board. And to me, I was never, if you ever looked at my walls, like my whole life, I never had anything on my walls. I don't collect things. I've never lived a life like caring about material things, almost the polar opposite. Like I learned to be free from letting go of everything and having nothing, no attachment to any items or anything like that. So if anything was important to me, I would almost purposefully give it away. You know, if I felt a little bit of an attachment or saw someone wanted it, I would let go and just give it to them. So it's kind of like the same thing with the board. You know, all the memories and everything meaningful about it is in my head and ingrained in my experiences. And, you know, I'll take that with me forever. The board, like, what's it going to do? Just sit in my, you know, basement or something, maybe on the wall. I don't know. To me, it just didn't really have much value there. So let go of it. I feel like he'll preserve it and show it. It'll be seen by more people. So yeah, just couldn't believe that that happened. I figured I'd share with you guys because, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Who would expect Tony Hawk take your skateboard after you skate across America? Anyway, so really cool experience. Thankful that he was, you know, down to take it. And now I'm going to go through these questions for the Skate Across America. First question, how am I holding up after the trip? So my feet still hurt after this thing. Plantar fasciitis was like the main problem as I was skating across the country. But, you know, it hurt a lot towards the end, and then after it started going down a little bit. But now it's kind of coming back. I don't know if it's because I'm skating more or what, but you know, every morning I get out of bed and I'm like tiptoeing, especially my right foot, which is like my dominant foot when I'm pushing. So I don't know. Just gonna keep icing it. Probably go back to the doctor. I think it's spreading to my Achilles. So I don't know if I have Achilles tendonitis also. I think that might be a common thing that happens with this. But yeah, a lot of people ask about my legs, like my thighs, my calves. That stuff didn't really hurt when I was skating every day because I skated for like 20 something years before that and kind of practiced, worked my way up to it. My muscles are just so used to it. So didn't really have much pain anywhere else but my feet. Yeah, still kind of dealing with that, but I'm able to skate. But getting back on the board, that was a different story. So that was actually the next question, was it hard to get back into skating? When I got back and just first went to the skate park, went to go skate a mini ramp, little 4-foot mini ramp, I felt so uncomfortable. Like, feet, you know, pivot fakey, blunt fakey, things like that, like tricks I was doing every try. Had no confidence and just felt off. So definitely had to work back up to that. And you would think that I'd be building all my muscle strength, you know, skating every single day, but really wasn't like that because you're like using a different set of muscles when you're pushing, you know, doing flip tricks and bending down, flipping your board, like spinning it, using all these different muscles that you're not using when you're pushing. So really took a while to get everything back. And I don't know. Yeah, it took like maybe a month. I'd say like a month, really, of like skating every day, getting it back. Now I'm excited again, learning tricks. So, but in the beginning, it was definitely tough and discouraging, you know? But yeah, definitely been a process. All right. Next question. What was my favorite state? So, favorite state? I don't know. They all had their own unique things and feelings about them, but I would say California or Arizona, just like the desert, really. Going through that and being just in the middle of nowhere, nice cool air. It was still hot out, but it was like still cool. And just being alone. Like it was so desolate out there, like nothing at all, just me. I don't know, something about the sand, the environment. I don't know. Just felt like really natural to be out in the desert. So I'd say that. Plus, I think that's when I realized like I'd be able to do the skate. Like I got over the biggest hill at a certain point, like maybe a week or two in, and I knew for sure I was going to be able to finish as long as nothing went wrong. So I think just knowing that and like, you know, being relaxed and like enjoying the moment a little more kind of helps with, you know, picking a favorite state or area. So I think that's why. Okay. Next question. Who was my favorite supporter? Okay. So there were so many, it's hard to really just narrow on one, but I think it goes with the same thing I was just saying, was that beginning moment when things are starting to work out. And there was this couple, like 60 years old, 70 years old, I'm not sure exactly how old they were, but they met up. I think they were the first people that met up, and they brought a packed lunch for me and told me some stories. I don't think I shared this on the vlog, but at the end of the day, I actually met up with them and had dinner. So just like chilled for like an hour talking about their lives and, you know, what I was experiencing and all that stuff. So that was really cool because that's when it like, I started to understand what it could be, and just having someone support it in that way when I wasn't expecting it. So I think that'll always like be a special place, just remembering that like first meetup. So that was pretty cool. All right. Next question. Have I ever been bothered by the cops? All right. So there were, I think, one or two moments. For the most part, I was pretty good. I know there was a moment, I think in Arkansas or something like that, I was skating over a bridge and people called. I think, you know, you think they're just like Karens, like complaining, but really I think people are just concerned like for your health, that you're going to get hit by a car or something like that. But I was on the bridge, cops pulled up, and you know, no big deal because it's technically was legal. So they were just like, yeah, be safe. We got a call, you know. The only real bad interaction I had, and I didn't share this on the vlog because I noticed when I shared something like that before, people made the whole video about that, like unnecessary, over the top hate for cops, which I'm not about. Like, it's just unnecessary. They're people like you and me, and they just have jobs, and, you know, got to be empathetic. Like, you know, they're just doing the best they can, having a job, whatever. So this one guy, though, different kind of story. I'm skating along the highway. He pulls me over and I ask him why. And he's just like, you just look suspicious. You're in all black. And, you know, I'm like, okay, it's kind of weird. He said that there was a jail nearby or something like that, so people would escape or run down the highway, something like that. I don't know. I have to look at the footage. But, you know, he was just like, let me go through your bag. I'm like, I'm pretty sure, you know, you're not allowed to. And he was just like, well, I could just take you to jail immediately. And I know the laws and all this stuff. Everyone would comment telling me the laws. And you have to be able to pick and choose your battles. And that wasn't one I wanted to choose. You know, I didn't feel like going to jail for no reason and like having to deal with that. So I'm just like, all right, man, just so you know, I'm skating across America for charity, like not really up to anything, you know? So he's trying to go through my bag, can't get it open. I'm just sitting there laughing. And as for like a minute or two, as he's trying to get it open, I'm just like, okay, all that's in there is one change of clothes, a little bit of water, skate tool, tripod, deodorant, toothbrush, you know. And by the time he's done, he's just like, all right, yeah, checks out, you're good to go. But yeah, he was definitely on the side of like, you know, kind of just kind of picked me out and kind of had it out for me. Luckily I was just, you know, able to keep my cool, explain it, let him go through my bag or whatever. Luckily I don't have anything illegal in there, so I didn't really care. It's more about principle. But yeah, you just, when you're out there, you don't want to deal with anything like that. Like, you don't know if someone's just going to hold you for a long time or what it is. So really not a big deal. Just kind of let them go through and carry on with the trip. Okay, next we got any close calls with cars. So there was definitely a bunch. Nothing too crazy. I think there were like two real moments. One I mentioned in the vlog, which was I was on the sidewalk, busy street, and a dog barked at me, and I just jumped back, and I was right at the street, and a huge bus came flying by me, almost took me out. I really could have died, like an inch away from dying right there. So that was like one of the main moments where I realized it, like that it was very, very possible and easy in a split second notice that I could die out there. Other than that, I think there was one moment where I had headphones on, and I just kind of like got lazy and wobbled off my board, like stepped off sideways, and a car just zipped by me. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to keep the volume down just a little bit on my headphones, because you really got to be aware all the time. Like, one little slip is where it happens. And, you know, 99% of the time I'm locked in. I know every car that's coming in every direction, but it only takes that one little, like, you know, mess up for something to go wrong. So, all right, next question we got, was this recognized by Guinness World Records? So I don't think I mentioned this during the skate, but I had my, that watch I was using the whole time. So every single day I had a logbook, write down the beginning and ending of every day. Every time I stopped, had to have people in a witness book sign off on it. And yeah, the watch was just keeping track of everything, my GPS location, had to write down the coordinates and all that stuff. So that was a lot to deal with that wasn't really in the vlog, and I don't really ever mention it, but just that alone was a whole nother thing. Like, daily vlogging, daily uploading on Instagram, and then that was just, you know, so much to do even after I finished skating for the day. Oh, but yeah, anyway, Guinness recognized it, have the record. It's technically the first skate across America. So yeah, pretty cool. They sent it in the mail. I posted the picture of me with it on Instagram. For any of you guys that haven't heard of like a lot of these updates, I'm always updating on not always, but decent amount of the time I'm updating on Instagram. So if you're going to follow over there, that's where, when I'm not active on YouTube, I'm usually posting stuff there. All right, next question. Seems like you ran into only nice people. Any insights? So I've thought about this a lot, like being out there, even before the Skeet Across America, I thought about this. I think a lot of it has to do with you and how you view the world and your energy, right? So if you view everyone as like dumb and they're getting in the way and it's their mistake and, you know, that's how you're going to see the world. So you're going to see anger and people messing up all the time. If you're more understanding and like, oh, that's me in the car. Like, I could mess up and not be paying attention, or like, you know what I mean? You're just more empathetic and kind and you see the good in people. Then I think that's what you get back. So I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I'm sure just everyone's just, in my eyes, everyone was pretty nice. And if you come with that kind of energy to everyone, that's usually what you get back. So I'm a big believer in that. And if everyone is angry and the world sucks, it's probably because of your perspective and the way you view the world. So take that as a hint to like look at things and be introspective. All right, next question. Favorite snack on the road. All right, so I started off like super healthy in the beginning. And as the trip went along, same with stretching too, I kind of just got lazy, didn't stretch as much, and started eating a little more unhealthy. Also because sometimes you just can't do it. Like there's no stores around, there's nothing going on. It's like a Super 8 and a McDonald's. So looks like I'm eating a Big Mac. You know what I mean? But I'd say my favorite snack, I mean, at night, I kind of liked, I hadn't eaten fast food in years. So it was kind of cool being able to just eat Taco Bell after skating 12 hours, just being completely done with everything. Like, all right, I'm just eating Taco Bell. I don't care. But snack wise, a lot of trail mix. Cause that was, I could just eat that while I was skating. It's like snack, cruising down a hill, going nice speed, like not even pushing, just snacking, listening to something, or, you know, on the headphones, relaxing. These like, what was it? Lifesavers gummies for some reason. Like I don't really even eat snacks too much, but I don't know if I needed sugar or carbs as I was skating, but I had the urge to eat those all the time. So that like those two were the things I'd get when I stopped at the gas station. All right, what do we got here? We got, how did I mentally prepare for such a long task? Well, the first thing I did was work my way up. So I never could skate long distance. You know, I skated in New York City when I was a kid, but, you know, 5 miles, the most, a couple of miles when I was a kid across town. So I had to practice this, you know, so 6 months ahead of time, bought a board and just practice pushing, building my strength. I remember I did 5 or 10 miles one day and was super sore, 20 miles sore, started doing 40 and then 50. And then eventually, like, the soreness kind of went away, and it was more mental than anything. Just being out there for so long, it's like training to not get lazy or just like, oh, I can rest, I can sit down. So the mental aspect, I feel like, is tougher after a certain point than the physical. Eventually, your body just starts getting used to it. But, you know, it was tough to train and really, like, it's tough to skate 50 miles every day when you're not skating across America. When there's nothing on the line, you're just like, all right, I could probably do it. So that's what I did. I did like a 50, I did a 60. And then I was like, okay, I know I can do that in a day. So I should be able to do it out there. Didn't really realize that the hills and the ground and the traffic all like crossing streets and stuff like that was really going to slow me down. So my average speed was like almost cut in half because of all that stuff. So, you know, you throw yourself in the fire and then you just start working it out. And then after like a couple of weeks, I was pretty much used to anything. My body was used to anything. And yeah, I get a little sore, but you get over it, you know? And that was like one of the bigger lessons I learned was you put yourself in the scenario, even if you're so sore, you can't get out of bed. Once you start skating, it just kind of goes away. So you could be sore, not want to go to the gym, let's say. 20 minutes in, soreness is basically gone. You know, you could push through anything. And it's, for me, it's setting up that goal or restriction that makes you actually like have to do it. Because when it's like, oh, I could just stay in bed today, it's a lot easier to do that. So that's like my hack, is coming up with these little, you know, goals or missions that I set up for myself. All right. And what's next was the question. A bunch of questions asked that way in a different way. So I've been working on stuff not video related. So I've been working on a book, getting close to finishing that. I'm really excited about that. My friend Josh Katz met up with me and shot a bunch of photos while I was skating. So I'm going to include those in the book and just make like one really cool big project. So working on that, trying to find a publisher and like looking at everything, but that's pretty close to being done. So hopefully I got an update for you guys on that in the near future. Working on the nonprofit. I haven't announced this yet. Probably will. I mean, like put it on Instagram or something like that soon, but it's going to be called the Mini Ramp Foundation. I'll explain that more in a later video, but yeah, I'm really excited about that one. That's like a long-term thing that I think could have a huge effect on skateboarding as a whole. So that's like hopefully the main thing I'm going to be focusing on and that I can make work. Yeah, really excited to share that. Working on the website for it now. And what else? Yeah, trying to set up a tour for the documentary. I haven't released that yet, but been taking it to film festivals here and there, won an award. So in the spring, summer, gonna take that around the film festivals, try to get it picked up by a streaming service. Hopefully that leads to a show. And that's the plan. Just gonna keep doing that and yeah, keep trucking along. Probably going to start uploading on the main channel soon, just doing vlogs of me skating, stuff like that. And I'm really excited to grow this though. I got a bunch of guests like lined up and I don't know. Something came back about the podcast, got me excited to do it again. So it was really small when I did it. What was it, like 3 years ago or something like that? Did a couple of episodes, filmed the whole thing on my iPhone. So yeah, this time I'm going to try to do it right. If it grows bigger, maybe I'll go to the studio, stuff like that. So yeah, that's it. Thanks for tuning in. If you guys got any video ideas or topics you want to talk about in the next one, just leave a comment down below. And yeah. See you guys in the next one.